Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
In the sea, they feed all of me. They so slimy, they are scrumptious as can be. The fellas, them the sea. It's an aphrodisiac. Maybe it's mythical, but we won't dispute that. Get my dinghy, folks.
Good yawning this morning, everyone, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is Wednesday, the 21st of June, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Today is a jam-packed day of conversation. Now, guys, I saw the newspapers this morning. I want to talk politics, too, so badly. But I have a more important politics to talk this morning. Politics isn't just what happens in the House of Assembly or in political parties. Politics is how different systems interact with each other. And today, we're going to be focusing on World Ocean Month. And I want to call this show The Politics of Bubbling. What is the ocean good for but bubbling? That's our favorite pastime. Find some ocean, just a small patch for yourself, and go sit in it and do a little bubbling. Sit and chill out a little bit. There's plenty politics in that. And if you don't believe me, I want you to pick a day of the work week, get up very, very early, and drive out to Montague Beach. On Montague Beach is perhaps one of the longest, the most longstanding, the oldest social clubs in the Bahamas. They're called the Solar Bears. Not the polar bears. The polar bears are crazy people who wait for the coldest day of the year to go jump in the cold water. The solar bears are Bahamians that don't care what the temperature is. They're going to greet the morning sun with the ocean out on Montague Beach. There's plenty of power in the ocean. And so I'm glad today to have joining me representatives from BREEF. And BREEF is the Bahamas Reef Environment Education Foundation. And in studio as well with me this morning is Dr. Juliet Storr and guest. They're going to introduce themselves in a moment. And they're going to be talking about a disaster mental health project. I think there are lots of connections here. So I want you all to sit with me for a moment. We're going to get back to these newspapers and these politics in a moment. And so let me go around the table, let everybody introduce each other. And then, guys, you got to sit with me while I give out the Sand Dollar giveaway question for the day. And I think you guys, even though you can't answer it in studio, I think you're going to enjoy the questions. So let's start from my right. Good morning, ma'am. And the mics are a little funny. You have, I like to say, they're not funny, you know. In particular, you have to speak right into the mic. Look at the mic, in fact. Don't mind me. Look at the mic when you're talking.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. My name is Heather Brockbank, and I'm the outreach assistant at BREEF. I started a year ago, initially being a best scholar, and I've been able to help with all their programs in the past year.
Awesome. Let's swing the mic to your side.
Good morning, Bahamas. I am Crystal Darling Sargent. I am the communications officer at the Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation.
Awesome.
Hi, I'm Dr. Juliet Storr, and I am the director and producer of the documentary and docuseries on disaster mental health.
Awesome.
Hi, I'm Roxy Starr, and I work in PR along with Dr. Juliet Storr for Category D6, as well as I'm the operations manager for the Merce Guard Yachting, who exists in the blue economy adjacent and has done a lot of work with BREEF.
Now, did you say Roxy Star, or did you say Roxy Star?
Star, razzle dazzle.
Good morning, Roxy Star. Good morning to all of my guests. I want you all to know I have four superstars in this room with me this morning who are trailblazers and pioneering in the spaces that they are in. And just as we lead into our Sand Dollar info this morning, I just want you all to know that you all are sitting in this studio. I am an Olympian. I have an Olympic medal in saltwater free ocean, free floating. See, not just saltwater in a pool. Some of y'all put saltwater in a pool and think you're just floating. I am an Olympian. I know how to bubble, not just in fresh water, pond water, pool water, but in ocean, free ocean. And so now we have a room of superstars, and I'm glad to talk about, we're going to talk about Ocean World Ocean Day, World Ocean Week for the Golden Jubilee. The Prime Minister has declared, or had declared last week, World Ocean Week. I'm sorry the show is so late. They sent the message to me by mailboat. Y'all know how the ocean goes. Anyway, we're going to get right into that. Guys, this Thursday and Friday, June the 22nd and the 23rd, central bank representatives will be giving out sand dollars at Quality Supermarket, Cable Beach. Show your sand dollar-enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Mm. Now, I can give you all a little secret. If you don't have a sand dollar-enabled wallet, the representatives out there will be glad to help you set it up, help you choose the company of your liking, and then set up your wallet so that you can participate in all of the ongoing sand dollar giveaways. If you get there with your wallet, you can get $20 at the door. If you spend 18 or more of those dollars in sand dollars at the register, you get $5 back when you leave the store. Now, the offer is limited to the first 100 customers to show up with their sand dollar enabled wallet at each location. One top up per person, so as many people as possible can experience the sand dollar. For more details, visit any of the sand dollar social media pages or call 302-9880. Now on to our sand dollar giveaways. Every day for the next 4 months, we'll be giving away sand dollars to digital wallet holders. Every day, two winners will receive $30 in sand dollars. To be eligible to win, you must have a digital wallet and answer the trivia question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name and number, your digital wallet provider, and your digital wallet address to transfer the funds to your digital wallet if you get the right answer. Listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. You can only win once. Now, my texters have decided they want to play this game. So if you are giving me a correct answer, make sure you give me your wallet provider, your custom name, or the easiest method to send the funds to you via sand dollars. Now, here is the first question for the day. In Jamaica, Aki is Aki. But in Barbados, Aki refers to which fruit? In Jamaica, Aki is Aki. But in Barbados, Aki refers to which fruit? Now, the guests in studio are currently looking at the largest hairy mango in the world. I declare this the largest hairy mango in the world. I picked this mango myself. And I didn't eat this one, obviously, that'd be obeah. But the one that I did eat was definitely a hairy mango. It was the sweetest, tiniest mango I've ever tasted of the hairy variety. I am just... So the fruit that I am referring to in the question of the day is a fruit that you can also find in the Bahamas. In Jamaica, Aki is Aki, but in Barbados, Aki is what fruit? The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. For all our listeners in the Bahamas, but not in New Providence, that number is toll free. Now, the reason I like that question for today is that the fruit in question, like the passion fruit, they are, I want to say, what's the word? There's a term, and my ocean friends are going to give it to me. When you water friendly, it's more than water friendly. It's like when you could travel on the water and you don't need a boat. See, passion fruit grows on a vine. It could drop in the ocean and float. It's a traveler. It's a world citizen. So yeah, I was born in the Bahamas, but I have the means to travel wherever I want in the world. And the fruit I'm referencing has a similar capacity, properties, potential, superpowers. That's what I like to call it, superpowers. They could float and find themselves a new home. I love it. So good morning. It's time to talk to Brief about World Ocean Day. Don't worry, I see the looks on y'all faces. You don't have to answer the question. If you know the answer, whisper it, because you can't let the answer out over the mic. Good morning, Crystal. And repeat your name again, my Grand Bahama friend.
Heather.
Heather, I'm going to call you the Lucayans. You are officially representing all of Grand Bahama, like the Bahama Games. Good morning. All right, so Brief marks World Oceans Month with snorkel and beach cleanup. It's a great article I found in the local media. Talk about that briefly, but more importantly, and no pun intended, more importantly, tell us what has Brief done so far for World Oceans Month? How did you commemorate World Oceans Day and World Oceans Week, special to the Bahamas? And what do you have planned for us for the rest of the summer?
Yeah, so we were really celebrating with a beach cleanup and snorkel on World Oceans Day. So it was really our Kickstarter to get started to celebrate our ocean and really have an opportunity to bring kids out and have them in our underwater classroom, we like to call it. So they really get to experience the underwater world in a way they can't, because we provide all the materials. Underwater classroom, yes.
Ministry of Education, that's not what you think it is. But we can work on getting this into the public school system.
Yeah.
And how does a child participate? Because I got 11 months to prepare my child for next year's activities.
Yeah, so if they want to participate in the beach cleanup, there's no age limit. You can bring your grandmother, your mother, your toddler, whoever to enjoy. But for our snorkel, you have to be 8 years old or above. And you don't even have to know how to swim. We guide you through that process so that you can have an easy experience in the water and not relate the water with fear or be afraid of the water, but really be comfortable swimming and getting to the next step of getting really into the water and into the marine environment.
This is awesome. All right. Crystal?
Okay. And so for World Oceans Month, we, like Heather said, we kicked it off on June 8th on World Oceans Day. And we kicked it off with a brief snorkel and beach cleanup where we had some kids come out in the community. And we do these snorkels every once in a while. So we encourage people to find us on Facebook at Brief. Very easy to find, B-R-E-E-F, on Facebook and Instagram. And you can stay up to date with all the events that we have in the pipeline. We've also did a conch presentation, Heather. Did a conch presentation with Sybil Strawn Primary. And the children actually got the chance to use conch shells that we had for examples and measure the lip width of the conch because of, you know, just to help them to get the measurements that's supposed to be proportioned. What was the measurement for the conch shell size?
Yeah, so a lot of people know conch measurements as a flared lip or a very well-formed flared lip, but it's actually important that it's 15 millimeters thick. And so that ensures the conchs had a time to reproduce and make more population.
No, this is great, because I always knew about sort of the length, right? You have to get a sense of how far the lip sort of flares out, how much it's grown. But it's not just the length. You have to look at the ply, how thick it is as well.
Yeah, so we know conch populations are going down. Conch prices are going up. And so just taking into account the 15-millimeter rule, even for fishermen, is a great way to start replenishing our population.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, I can figure out how to frame this question. What percentage of conch do we sort of save or retain? Like, if we follow the 15 millimeter?
Millimeter.
Yeah, centimeter is big. 15 millimeter rule, how much conch do we save for the next season?
Yeah, so a lot of the time fishermen would just look at a conch and see a flared lip. But a lot of the time, especially Brief, a couple of years ago, conducted citizen science research.
Yeah.
Where we took regular people and we studied the conch middens or the conch piles that you see on the shoreline, and a great percentage of that found that a lot of juvenile conchs were found there because in order to be in those middens, they need to be caught at a juvenile age. And so just ensuring that the 15 millimeter is adhered to can really help to stop these middens being piled up with juvenile conch that didn't have a chance to reproduce.
Right. I see this, right? Like, we're looking at a cultural shift. I have to think about my food before I put it in my body. I really have to ask questions, and I want you all to make this leap with y'all in my in your mind and in my mind. I'm making the leap to other areas in our lives where we consume things, where we need to begin to have a different relationship, right? We need to be asking questions of ourselves. The conch could talk, they just ain't talking to you, because you's the conch, right? But it's important to always ask yourself questions about what it is you're going to eat before you eat it. And so with the conch, this is a dire issue. It's not just, oh, should I drink this ginger ale? I can talk to the ginger ale. Ginger ale, how much grams of sugar you have in it? 35? Oh, that's too much. I shouldn't drink the ginger ale. But conch, collectively, when I ask the question, should I eat this conch? It's not just about the impact on my body, right, that I'm assessing. It's the impact on the environment, the ocean beds, the currents, the winds that are sometimes driven by currents, and then the whole collective. If I eat this conch, will other Bahamians be able to eat conch in 5 years? Right? Like, these are the types of questions we need to start asking ourselves every time we have this conch experience. And if you don't believe me, then think about it like this. The conch salad costs $15. That's a lot of money. See, if it only costs $5, you can sit right down there and eat it. But it costs $15. You need to get your value out of that. And a part of that value now is, have you sat and thought about what it is you're doing and what the real cost of this conch salad is? Dr. Storr and Ms. Starr, y'all could jump into the conversation at any time, because I have a feeling that your work and the work that you're doing with this project, there are many, many parallels, right, with the work that Brief is doing and the cultural shifts that they're asking us to engage.
If I could jump in,
yeah.
Just before Dr. Starr speaks more directed toward the actual documentary, I think a lot of people don't see the value in Brief because we don't see the value in what our ocean provides us. We're talking about conch right now, but it's so much more than that. It's the coral, it's the mangroves, it's you leaving the Kentucky box on the beach, it's the plastic straws that kill the fish, it's the fact that your grandfather and your father are both fishermen and they own fisheries companies, and we're not holding them accountable for overfishing. It's the fact that this is the way that Heather may have gotten monies to go to college because her family exists in the blue economy. We don't think about it and drill all the way down into it, and then those things lead to so many other things that happen, you know, quote unquote, on land. So we look at the ocean, and the ocean is a source of this immense monetary gain for our economy that we don't think about. So, for example, I work with the Maersk Squad yachting, and I don't know it Brief, but most people in the marine space would know Mermaid Katie. She is an Instagram influencer, real name Catherine Storr. And she has worked in conservation, not just I work on the ocean, I work on a yacht, I work on a boat, I fish. She is passionate about conservation, which is one of the core tenets of Brief. So we've worked with them in the past. She's an influencer who's worked with them. And one of the things that she's taught me on my journey is everything in this country almost can be linked back to something on that ocean. We live in an isolated space that is surrounded by water. Down to shipping logistics, that's a blue economy thing. If we mess up the waters, if we continue to do what we do and harm our waters, harm our marine economy, then even things like vessels to get into ship is going to be difficult. Logistics for shipping is going to go up because the cost to clean the ocean goes up. So the cost to get the tanker here goes up. So the cost of this bottle of water goes up because the company is now paying more to get it here. And these are the things we're not thinking about. And I think that's one of the reasons why places like Brief are so important. And it's so important that we take a level of accountability for what we do and how we harm the environment on a day-to-day basis. You know, even down to, people don't think about throwing the beer bottle in the bush when they drive, but in the heat of the summer, that glass bottle can light on fire when the sun is directly on it and you have homes nearby. So those are the things that we have to think about when it comes to the environment, not just blue, but, you know, on a grander scale. And the connection between that and what Dr. Starr is doing is we have the ability to be responsible for our part that we personally play in making sure that that marine environment is protected. Because when we don't protect that, we don't protect the people whose direct source of income comes from that. So now we're not protecting the child in the home who no longer can eat. We're not protecting the mother in the home who has to rob Peter to pay Paul because her husband can't bring that money to the table anymore. And we're not protecting their mental health. That is something that we can control. When we look at the flip side of that and we look at disaster in that space in the ways that we can't control, hurricanes, you know, any other natural disaster that can affect that oceanic product, those are the things where disaster mental health comes in on a larger scale. So when we can help and not have that mom home threatened because we want to throw straws in the ocean and scream, hey, on the boat while we go on Rose Island, we can control that. We can't control the mega part of it that we obviously don't have control over, but they both intertwine and play a huge part on mental health. And I think that is the segue for Dr. Starr to kind of tell us about what that project looks like.
Absolutely. I was going to say, you know, that's one of the connections. UB Sustainability Research Center, we really need to make an assessment, a formal assessment of the cost, the value of the ocean and the costs associated with the ocean. We talk about cleanup costs. We talk about the cost for setting up buoys and protecting areas. But have insurance companies taken into account the costs saved because people are using a free therapeutic alternative? Right. And so we could see the connection as well in the midst of the pandemic when beach and ocean access was severely restricted, both an economic impact, a detrimental impact, and a psychological and mental health, you know, impact. And I wonder if there are any bodies, any institutions that are taking account and calculating the cost. Sometimes we pay money for things, and but we don't realize that that's not the true cost of the thing that we're enjoying, taking part in, or consuming. But Dr. Starr, you want to jump in?
So in terms of looking at the cost, you are seeing more and more studies looking at the cost on the impact of the environment or climate on the environment in terms of what is going on due to climate change.
Pull the mic right
and
up
climate
there.
Change then drives a lot of the interconnectedness that we're talking about today, whether we're looking at BRIEF and BRIEF's work or the work that we are doing in terms of raising awareness of disaster mental health and in conjunction with that, thinking disaster broadly through pandemics as well and the impact that has had on our psyche. And when you talk about how that plays into the wholeness of the human being in terms of recovery, in terms of being able to make sure that post any disaster like a Hurricane Dorian or COVID-19, people have the tools in which they can actually restore their lives and become whole functioning human beings again. And so this project looks at the interconnections between how we treat the environment prior to or before a disaster and the environment and its role in our lives, including the changes that have taken place. You know, there are a lot of scientific studies about climate change and the impact of climate change. One of the more recent areas where we are seeing this interconnection is climate change and mental health. And so that, in terms of looking at what are some of the long-term things we can do to help human beings, particularly looking at the Bahamas, because we are in Hurricane Ali. And so because of that, whether we're looking at how we are taking from the environment, whether it's through conchs or how we are using the beaches in terms of recreation or in terms of our day-to-day use of even water. You know, these are all connected to us as humans and our interactions with the environment. And we don't think about, well, what happens to the human psyche when the environment turns against us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Or when we have a disaster like a COVID-19, and prior to that, Hurricane Dorian, or a hurricane of that magnitude. And so this project really is to bring awareness, to sensitize people to what happens to the human being having gone through such traumatic events. A lot of them related now to climate and the changes in climate, mm-hmm. and of course the environment and issues of sustainability. When we talk about sustainability, we usually only think about the physical environment,
yes.
mm-hmm. but sustainability of the human being in our day-to-day existence
is
going forward
primarily
is
cycling.
Primarily, mm-hmm. yes. And if we don't do that, yeah. we are going to find that we are going to have increases, and this is now global data, in mm-hmm. terms of depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, other kinds of psychological disorders that we don't think about impact our daily lives. Mm-hmm. I've heard stories after stories in a lot of the pre-production we have done about how people are coping post-Hurricane Dorian and COVID-19. I mean, can you imagine having survived Hurricane Dorian only to have lost loved ones to COVID-19?
Mm-hmm.
And those stories are very real.
Oh, very.
So the importance of getting us to understand that we are going to see increases in mental health in terms of some of the psychological disorders that we have been struggling with, increases in suicides, increases in anxiety and depression, increases in people not being able to cope mm-hmm. with day-to-day, and across all age groups, children, adults, teenagers, senior members of society, and who is really preparing us to deal with our psychological fallout.
Right, because the work, the mental health work is individual, right? It's you are the primary stakeholder in that work. But it also requires people, they need to be able to plug into a system larger than them. Mm-hmm. And when it's a cultural, when a system is a cultural exactly. practice, it's even easier for people to sort of take on that mm-hmm. work on their own,
absolutely.
Right? Because yeah. systems are in place. Yeah. But guys, I got to get back to my trivia question for the day. I think my producer is waiting on me to take a break also. So let me throw out the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, and for our residents living in the Bahamas but not in New Providence, toll-free number 242-300-5720. Text line powered by BTC, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. The first question for today, in Jamaica, Aki is Aki, but in Barbados, Aki is something completely different. What food are they referring to in Barbados when they say they want some Aki? Now, I have a second question. I think maybe the second question, you don't know it? You know it. My producer know it. I can see if you could play producer. I can find out from Sandal if you could play. Maybe the second question is easier, and I'm wondering if I should throw that one out. Here's what we're going to do, guys. I'm going to put that, if you know the answer to the first question, call in and answer it. I'm going to throw the second question on the board right now. The five oceans are, the five oceans, right, ladies? See, because when I was in school, I thought there were five oceans. And when I went online, I saw some information that made me feel like maybe I wasn't in school at all. But the new trivia question for today is, there are five oceans on planet Earth. What are the names of those oceans? Name the five oceans on planet Earth. We got to go to a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to continue our conversation with Brief, with our Grand Bahama representative representing the entire Bahama Games Lucayans team today, Dr. Juliet Storr and Ms. Roxy Starr. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Bonefish Foley.
Bonefish
Foley. He's the one and only.
Bahamas Games.
What was the purpose of the games?
The purpose is twofold. One, to bring Bahamians from throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas together through sports. And the second, to find talented athletes throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to be trained and possibly make it to the Olympic level.
When the games is?
This July 7th to the 15th.
For more info, call 322
1029.
It's that time again!
Sign up now for the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, taking place July 24 to the 30th at the Hope Center and the Kendall Ice Exchange. Call 601-4842 for more information. Powered by the Bryce Newbold Foundation.
It's game time!
I'm Lasagna Mizek, Managing Director of RBC Royal Bank Bahamas, with some big news that will elevate your debit card experience. RBC's new Visa debit chip card will soon be here. To make things easier for you, we're offering free FedEx delivery when you validate your contact details. No need to wait in line. We'll bring the card straight to you. Call 356-8500. Select option 7 for Visa Debit Direct Line and update your delivery address. Our team is available weekdays between 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Take advantage of the security and convenience of chip and PIN technology. Free delivery is for a limited time, so act now.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
I've been everywhere.
Cheney's Uniform Center. We've traveled to every island in this here land, man. We go everywhere. We can go to every rock and key, Abaco to Inagua, even Ragged Island, The Rock. Celebrate our country's 50th independence with Cheney's Special Limited Edition. Sublimated t-shirts and caps in 10 different styles and colors. Get up to 50% off on cotton polo shirts only. Don't forget to embroider your company's logo to celebrate this independence at Cheney's Uniform Center, Chesapeake Road. Call 394-8385 or 6. WhatsApp, text only, 817-3295. Email sales@cheneys.com.
Everywhere.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back, welcome back. And maybe that's a part of it, right? We're talking about island life, and maybe that's what it is, as people are forced, use that word intentionally, to move to the center, whether it is forced to be able to fulfill personal dreams and desires or unable to meet economic obligations on the island. The truth is, those who think most about ocean life and the ocean are those people whose survival are tied directly to the ocean.
Yeah.
And even though we're a tourist-based economy, even though, and I love this phrase that Brief used, we are not just a small island state, but a large ocean state. Mm-hmm. And so let me say this. We are not a small island state. We are a 3,000 islands, rocks, keys, and defined permanent sand banks state with, correct me if I'm wrong, 1 million square, is it 1 million square acres or 100,000 square miles? It's a large, extremely large, see, sometimes y'all think I just be boasting. It's an extremely large marine territory that actually defines the boundaries of the nation. I know we're kind of running out of time, so let me stick a pin right there. To the people who have been answering the questions via text, you have to send me your wallet information to be able to win the prize. I'm going to take down your text numbers and communicate with you after the show, right? If you have a wallet, and then you can receive the prize. And let's get back into it. See, this continually telling ourselves we're a small island state makes us forget that we're a large ocean state.
180,000 square miles.
180,000. See, I know. I was estimating in the wrong direction.
No, man, give us all of that we want. Yeah. Expand our territory, Lord.
Right. And but because we're so close to the U.S., we assume the culture of the U.S. And in the U.S., a car means freedom. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden in the Bahamas, a car means freedom. But in a big ocean, in a large ocean state, a boat means freedom.
Survival. Mm-hmm.
It means survival. It means economic independence, mm-hmm. right? It means mobility, unrestricted mobility. I want you guys to understand that in the pandemic, the government required not just an act of parliament, but the declaration of an emergency to be able to restrict your mobility in any way between the islands, right? And so perhaps it's an inappropriate culture applied that makes us forget we ocean people.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I got a text here that said, Ms. Green, in my day, bubbling meant drowning.
Not if you're a sea turtle.
Right, not if you're a sea turtle. But also, in my day, a lot of people, when you ask them if they could swim, they say, no, but I could bubble. Yeah. That meant that I could manage myself in the water. I have a real sense of, a producer, check that call for me, see if that's a trivia person. I understand my limitations. Mm-hmm. But I love the water enough to be in it. Mm-hmm. And I respect it enough to know what I could do in it.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes the cultural things incorrectly applied make us forget who we are. But guys, I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. You didn't stop with the producer long enough. Are you answering the trivia question?
No, Ms. Green. I was just calling in the show based on what I heard you talking about.
Yes,
the
sir.
The nation and everything.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Sorry if I had any bad manners. I don't remember how it came on.
No, ma'am, no.
But
no,
you know, Ms. Green, what amazes me about the Bahama Islands,
mm-hmm.
I'm a child of the soil just like you, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you're the child of the soil, a little younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was born in the capital island of New Providence in Chippenham in 1951.
They had a lake in Chippenham in 1950. I mean, they got a lake now.
Mm-hmm.
They lake Chippenham?
No, I'm just talking about the flooding.
I know the Lake Sparky.
There you go.
Because I don't see, when I moved down here in Brighton State, there's been porn in the back here called Harold Porn.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been asking everybody who the hell Harold was. Nobody knew who Harold was. So I said, but everybody knows Sparky, right? They say, yeah. I said, well, let's name the lake next to my house.
Sparky
Porn. Lake Sparky.
Yeah, I like it.
But nobody else wanted to name it after them. So I said, I'll take the name. It's 39 feet from my house. You can walk across the road, you put right in the water. So why can't be Sparky Lake?
I think you need to put together a petition. I think that we often don't realize how much power we have in our hands.
But you know, most of the roads and stuff around the Bahamas were named way back in the day when they brought in a lot of surveyors and engineers and stuff from down in Guyana and Trinidad and Barbados and stuff.
Yeah.
Most of those roads, they named them after themselves, you know.
Well, but look here, Sparky. That's why I love the, you know, I put out an idea and then I saw the Grand Bahama Port Authority had a similar idea. They were naming 50 roads for the 50th independence. That's why I think it's such a wonderful project to allow people in their communities to reimagine what these things should be named. And because then, Sparky, so I love talking to you because you spark these ideas.
But listen,
right, hold on.
Moment.
Then we could entrench the real cultural relationship between the people and the environmental features in their communities.
But see, Ms. Green, I try this a lot of times, but you don't give me an option sometimes to really voice my opinion. Maybe it's I take too long to express myself. I've been living down in Pride Estate from 2006. Mm-hmm. I was the first place to move down here in April 2006. You know, there's none of the roads in Pride Estate got a name on it yet. You know how much ministers gone through here from my move down here? At least four ministers been down in Garden Hills from my move down here. And I asked all of them about naming the streets in Pride Estate. One time they said they could name the road where I live on, Sparky'sville. Everybody should have called and said, why are you going to name it after Sparky? Who he is?
But you know why we name it after Sparky? Because the power will never go off if you name it Sparky'sville. I'm telling you, it'll never go off if you name it Sparky'sville. Sparky, I got to go. But I want to thank you. And when you call in tomorrow, I was on a road yesterday called Asphalt Road. That's what they named the road. Asphalt, I was on a road yesterday in my journeys where I found the largest hairy mango in the Bahamas. I'm certain in the Bahamas. I was on a road called Asphalt Road. I am with you on that, Sparky. Dear Bahamians, you have the power. Petition to have the names, the roads renamed. Come together as a group and identify those environmental and cultural landmarks in your community. This is how you do it. So the children know this must be important because the whole community name after, they name a whole road after Sparky. And hold on, the pond named Sparky's Lake. This is something important. And then people begin to do the work on their own to look up these things. Ah, boy. Okay, guys. It's a great call. Let's get back into the conversation. Crystal?
So while we're talking about development, I just wanted to plug in because earlier, you know, we were talking about environmental sustainability and everything, but we have to make sure that our development and when we build things and construct things, especially the foreign direct investments, that we have a sustainable standard so that we're not harming the environment while we do that. We are not against development. I think a lot of people get confused sometimes. Mm-hmm. They think that, environmentalists, they don't want development. But no, we're asking for sustainable development. Because when it comes to hurricanes and strong storms, things that you cannot stop, if your environment is intact, and the Nature Conservancy has done some research on this as well, the government, the IMF, IDB, they've done research on this too. And in the areas that get flooded terribly during the hurricanes, a lot of times it's found that some development, some dredging, something was done that removed the mangroves, removed the natural, reefs and barriers that would block all of that storm surge from coming into the communities and flooding people's homes. And look at West Bay Street. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many parts of the country that we could point at, some even with names related to the environment, that get flooded out every time because we did not, we don't pay attention, close attention to these things. Just last year in Long Island, they had a ribbon cutting ceremony for this multi-million dollar marina, and the prime minister confessed that a EIA wasn't completed but they were cutting ribbons. Katharina spoke about it, our executive director, and she said, you know, the environment cannot be an afterthought when it comes to us, because this directly impacts us. And so when someone's house is flooded, people think about, you know, an environmental, that's like a long-term thing. But no, it's something that affects you every day, sometimes for years. When you have a strong hurricane come, bring in that storm surge, and your house is destroyed. Mm-hmm. Right? That's a long-term. That's an everyday, I don't have a house.
Correct.
You know, that's a miserable situation.
And you said it. You said it when you said the prime minister admitted that the proper environmental studies weren't done. And that's where we as a people have to be more cognizant. The second we take it seriously, they don't have a choice, because you can't sit in no house to represent me as no MP if you're not standing and following through, because plenty of them run on the platform and don't follow through. But we keep forgetting time and time again, they work for us. Paid with my VAT money.
I would say to my listeners, we've had this conversation several times, and people have texted and said, Aaron, you're wrong. The EIA is not required before these approvals could be given. But you hear the Prime Minister, you heard the Prime Minister said it.
And then when we did the follow-up story on it, yes. we spoke to the Deputy Prime Minister. He was like, yeah, that is a standard. He's like, nothing can be, you know, nothing can be done. No type of major work can be started or done. Right, without, like, there's a process. There's a process, and the EIA is a part of that. And right, whether that's done before or after they break ground or what have you,
it has to be done. And even the breaking ground, like,
that's a
standard. The breaking of the ground requires an environmental impact assessment.
Correct. Because if y'all remember the Disney project in Eleuthera, that was held up for years because they couldn't figure out how to replant mangroves. They couldn't figure out how to cut or to dredge without damaging the economy. And the people in South Eleuthera wasn't having it.
Right.
They said, y'all can figure this out or y'all can come out of South Eleuthera. Yeah.
And the same thing.
They had to figure it out.
They changed their entire plan.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now this is.
Now this is passed, and we have minimalized really the economic, the environmental impact. Absolutely.
And let's just take a pause because I was about to hit the button, but we cannot hit the button today. This conversation is important because you've heard people talk about all of the work that has to be done before you can engage in a project, right? And I'm troubled every time I hear my prime minister use the phrase a debt for nature swap. And I say it for this reason. It has become apparent that the state is unable to calculate the real cost of the environment. You don't know. You have not taken the time. You have not even established a theoretical framework through which to have the conversation, to make the assessments. How can you begin talking about a debt for nature swap if you have not been able to determine what it is you have and how you got it, how it sustains itself? Because the people who run BPL, they ain't running the sand, natural sand generation factory. I'm telling you that. They're not running it. Right? And so how dare you remove mangroves before you understand how the mangroves grew there in the first place, why the earth decided that they needed to be there, and what function they fill, and how you can replace that natural feature with a man-made feature that can provide the same function. Right? It's the same thing you tell your children when they want to borrow your car. You have car money.
That's it.
You know how to replace car. You know how cars work. You could replace people's children when you kill their children with my car. Right? Those same questions that you ask is what the government, what you have to ask yourself before you begin talking about a debt for nature swap. Okay, now. Dorian Six documentary, contact information for people who want to be a part of the documentary, who want to support the documentary, who want to refer people gently and respectfully to the production team and about the project itself, contact information, and brief contact information. What's your next activity or event, and how can we join in?
Okay. Yeah. So I'll go first, and then I'll let you wrap up. Mm-hmm. So... for the documentary and docu-series and the project itself, which also has a community and engagement program attached to it for the sustainability aspect in terms of long term, you can get in contact with us by going to our website, www.categoryd6.com, or you can contact me, the producer-director, at 535-4728. We have lots of information on the website. We also have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter account. We have an Instagram. So if you were to plug in Category 6 for any of those, they would come up, Category D6.
Okay.
And you will find a way to contact us about the project. We are hoping to get people to donate, sponsor, and volunteer for the production side, as well as for the community and engagement program, which takes place after production. We go into communities, we show the product in terms of the documentary and docuseries. We have conversations with people to change or shift the culture around mental health, particularly when we are looking at mental health and disaster, mental health and climate change, and those kinds of issues that are going to emerge in the future.
Absolutely.
Okay, so our next upcoming event with Brief is a Sip and Paint event that is scheduled for July 1st at 6 p.m. It's going to be held at New Providence Community Center, and we really encourage people to come out. If you're looking to buy tickets beforehand, you can go on our website at www.brief.org, or you can buy them in person when you show up.
Absolutely.
Also, our Instagram is Brief242, as well as our Facebook page, where you can find updates on all of our activities and upcoming opportunities to even volunteer or work with Brief, or even to get your kids involved during the summer.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. The best influencer from Grand Bahama. Is Brief based in Grand Bahama, or was it founded in Grand Bahama?
It was founded in New Providence.
Okay, well then. Y'all can't have that then. Mm-hmm. But they got you, and
that's
I love
it.
That for you. That's all they need. Give your names again, ladies, as we close out the show.
My name is Heather Brockbank.
Heather Brockbank.
My name is Crystal Darling Sargent.
I'm Dr. Juliet Storr. And
Roxy Starr.
Thank you, ladies, for joining me this morning for witnessing the largest hairy mango in the world. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to test it today. I see my producer say he have to determine that us women, we get hyperbolic and hysterical, and so he may have to test that. And thank you again. It's just as we end the show, some quick notes, you guys, pay attention. The annual King Door Parkinson's Foundation 23rd Gala Ball is this weekend at Atlantis. And it's BPL in crisis. Pay attention to the news. Tropical Storm Brett is on the move, and we want to give Tropical Storm Brett the coolest ocean welcome ever.
Please.
Normally we welcome people in the Bahamas with warm hearts and open arms. Brett, cool oceans only for you, sir. You guys have a great day. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Urie is up next. And whatever you thinking, the ocean, because y'all Nassau people don't know nothing about life. Y'all tune in to that television show, Naked and Afraid, and watch the and assess the temperament of those people who have been stranded on the beach, on an island, and those who are in a savanna, in a swamp. You check out the difference in their attitudes. Y'all get the best gift in the world, the Bahamas. Have a great day.
I won't hurt you. Ain't that other guy? We can't slide no school. Ride down Ocean Drive. No, I'm not what you used to, but I'm someone you gon' like. Girl, I can see you've been through some things. Let's take a ride. In a dry time, switch your full names. Oh, I. You're all I've been missing. No, I won't bring you pain.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.